Thank you, Brother Gary. Thanks for the song service. Appreciate all of you. For the few of us, we had a pretty good song service this morning, which is nice. And like I said, we had some very good songs that had a lot of meaning in the words, a lot of sermons in the songs themselves. I want to speak to you this morning about, what we want to do versus what we ought to do. I spoke last week on ought, but talk to you about today. I know that I feel a lot like Brother Gary talked about Sister Carla. You know, I kind of want everybody out of my business. I don't want people telling me what to do. I can pretty much decide on my own what I want to do. I know with my children, I had one of them one time that, you know, when I was about to do something and I was telling them, you know, well, you know, that's I don't think that's a good idea. If you want to do that, that's fine, but I'd like for you to wait a while before you decide to do that. And I was told that, Dad, I'm 18 years old, and I know exactly what I want, what's good for me, and what I want for me, you know. And that's the way we are in this world. We're all a lot like that. We all, you know, we all know what we kind of want to do ourselves, and I don't want to have to submit to my parents or my bosses or anybody else's desires. Sometimes we know to keep a job, we have to submit to what our bosses want, but that's hard for us to do from time to time. But, you know, we have Satan is always in our back pocket telling us, you know, you need to do what you want to do and you shouldn't be following somebody else. And we know that gets us in trouble not only in our daily spiritual walk, doesn't have any impact on our eternal salvation, of course, but does in our daily spiritual walk with the Lord, gets us in trouble with our jobs, gets us in trouble with our families. Sometimes the thing we want to do, we don't want to be submissive, I guess, to the things that we ought to do. And that's what I want to talk a little bit this morning about. It's the same way, you know, our desire is to serve ourselves. That's the ego in us. If we let ourselves, the ego and our Satan control us, our egos and our own desires would control us, because our desires is not always what the Lord would have us do. That's where Apostle Paul even talked about it one time about, you know, what I want to do is not what I do. And sometimes even when I'm trying to do right, I do wrong, knowing better. I mean, and that's all of us in there. I think I know sometimes what the Lord wants me to do, but that's not what I want to do. And then I wind up going my own way and getting myself in trouble. And then I want the Lord to come and bail me out of that trouble. So the question, what I want to talk to you about this morning is, we're supposed to follow the example of Christ. Christ was the most submissive person that we know of. He came down here to earth to be a servant. Now, Christ is one of the Godhead. He's one of the three in one God, or God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was a God sitting on the throne of God at the right hand of the Father. And he came down not to do anything that he wanted to do. He came down here for one purpose, and that's to serve everybody else. He didn't do what perhaps he might like to do, or I don't know that you put me in the same boat. I wouldn't have come close to even doing. I couldn't even probably even think about it. The devil would get in my back pocket if I had the power of a God, I'd just do what I want to do, and I could do it and enjoy myself and have a great pleasure in this world. Christ didn't do that. Christ came here not to serve himself. You think about all the miracles that he performed, those benefited other people. He didn't perform a single miracle to benefit himself. He came down here to do what he needed to do for us. He was completely submissive and a servant in that regard about what he'd do. You know, we have it a good example, and it's in Matthew 4 and also in Mark 4. Where Jesus, right off the bat, when he heard in his ministry, he was tempted of the devil. And he had three temptations. Matthew chapter 4, it talked about he went into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. Started off, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, he was a man, and like us, I mean, he was hungry. I would certainly be hungry if I fasted. I don't know that I could make it that long. He did. That's, of course, a supernatural fast, but the Bible tells us when he finished that, he was hungry. Right off the bat, Satan started tempting him. Now, Satan tempted him right up front. You know, a few times I've tried to fast. It's a good thing, too. And when I finished it, well, I'm glad I've done it. But a fast is hard to do. It means I don't eat things that I want to eat. And I don't eat them not for me, but for the Lord. I'm not doing them to lose weight. If I'm losing weight, it's a diet. You know, and you can get into those type of things. It's not hard for me to diet. I've started several a year, every year almost, I think. So dieting's not easy, but to diet, when you're fasting to lose weight, it's a diet. When you're fasting to go against what the government policy is or some policy, it's a protest. When you fast for the Lord, then, you're serving the Lord. When you fast because it's our job under the Lord. We do that sometimes, and that's one of those things where we're submitting to what the Lord wants us to do. And when we get through that, if we can maintain ourselves and don't let the devil tempt us out of it, we come out with a blessing because we submit to what the Lord tells us. He tells us fasting is not required, clearly not required for our eternal salvation. But he tells us in his Sermon on the Mount, when you fast, means he's encouraging us to fast. But right off the bat, when he goes into the desert, Satan tempts him with these three temptations. Number one, right off the bat, we know he's hungry. So Satan tells him, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, if I've been fasting 40 days and the devil gives me the power to turn rocks and stones into food, I'm going to do that in a heartbeat. That's what I want. Did Christ fall subject to that temptation? No, he didn't. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He didn't let the devil tempt him. He's given us an example here. He didn't even come down here to do what Satan wanted him to do. Satan clearly wanted him to break his alliance with the Father. It says, then the devil taked him to the holy city and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple. We know the temple, at that time, the outside walls of the temple had high walls, I call them little fortresses, little boxes on the corners of that. And apparently he took him to the highest one that overlooks the Hinnom Valley. It's a long way down there. And he tells him to step off that, wants him to basically fly. Because he tells him, you know, the angels will take care of you. Well, you know, that's a big boost to his ego. If you're really the Son of God, prove it by jumping off the temple and temple pinnacle and not getting hurt. And, of course, he doesn't do that either. Be a big deal to his ego. If I thought, you know, what the devil's doing here, and he's saying, jump off. Don't be a chicken. Jump off. That's what we'd look at that. You know, and when, you know, when a man, especially us men who have egos like we do, nobody tells us to be a chicken. We'll prove they're wrong. So I'd be wanting to prove that I am a God and do that. Christ didn't do that. He knew he didn't come down to do that. The third temptation he did is the devil took him to exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of all the world and all the glory. Here's the entire world and every kingdom. He says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you power over all these kingdoms. You can be the king of the world. I like that. I would like the sound of that. I can be the king. Christ didn't fall temptation to that. You know, he showed him the sin of sin of the flesh, the pride of life, the pride of the eyes. These three are the basic sins. The three basic sins. Those are exact same sins that Satan uses on us every day. As we go about trying to be Christ-like, you know, we may come to church on Sunday morning, and I'm including me in this. And then I leave and I say, well, I want to be Christ-like, but Satan knows exactly where to attack me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my desires, and they're in these same three lines. Christ didn't do any of those. He didn't fall temptation to those. Those of you who have your Bible, flip over with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 37, 38. We're told here, you know, what our desire is to do what we want. I want to do what I want for myself. But look what Christ said here. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh me I will no wise cast out. Then he says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Christ came not to do anything. He had the power to do whatever he wanted to do, to please himself, to make himself look good, to build up his ego, to build up his power. He said, but I didn't come down here to do my will. I came down here to do the will of him that sent me. Now, in this world, is that the first thing we think of? My first thing is, I want to do what God wants me to do. It's what we should do, and I try to do that from time to time. But I don't even get close to accomplishing it. I don't do the things that God would have me do. I let the temptations of the world and temptations onto my ego and to my pride, you know, and my desire for power, as such it might be, in my limited world. We all want to be, that's our nature of our flesh. When we ought to be saying what Christ said here, I want to be submissive to the will of God. I want to submit to what He wants me to do. When we do that, we're the ones that come out with a blessing. And the Lord blesses that and honors that when we do what He desires for us to do, just like He did Christ. But Christ says, I came down not to do my will, but the will of Him sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again to the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him, and believeth is perfect tense, means it's ongoing, on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise Him up again at the last day. Christ, sitting here early on, says, I came to do the Father's will. We know the Father set aside everybody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life, all His children, before the foundation of the world, but the law had to be followed for each one of us to get to heaven. We can't get there. We're in this world, and we know we're sinners, and we've got problems and burdens and sins. Jesus came to fulfill the law, to take our burdens on Him, to take our sins upon Him, and give us, secure the law, provide, follow the law, under the law, God's law requiring righteousness. He took up on our sins, and He gave us His righteousness. He was completely subservient to us. He came to serve us. He put all the burdens of the world of sin on Him, and He came to die for us. He was completely submissive to the things of the world. Skip over a little bit in John 13, and He gives us a good example of this. He did not come to show us Lord. We knew that, and we could see that, and we could tell that, and the Bible proves that to us. But that His plan was to come and minister to us. He's the greatest of all, and He came to minister to us. Chapter 13, we know, when that's the place where He washed the disciples' feet. And I talked about this, but you know, servants are supposed to serve their master, and we are. We're supposed to serve the master. But He gives a great lesson in this, not just that this is something we ought to do in the church, but this is something that we ought to do in life, is that we believe that the lesser should always serve the master. That's how this world works. You know, the poor serve the rich. The slave serves the owners. You know, that's the way this world has worked, the way it always worked. You know, when you get to be rich and powerful, you hire people to do all your work for you and to come and wait on you. Christ said, that's not the way it works. Verse 13, He said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. He said, yeah, I am the Lord and Master. I am the Son of God. He's acknowledging that. He said, but if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And we do that. We're the one church that has a feet washing service. It's a very solemn service, and people that make fun of it, I wish they could see it sometime. They'd have a great appreciation for the solemnity of it and the sincerity of the people who do that. But He's teaching us a bigger lesson here. He said, masters ought to also minister to the servants. The greater ought to minister to the lesser. He said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. It's an example that He's told us to follow, but it's also an example that He intends for us to use in a bigger sense. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We know that. Servant's not greater than the Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. I'm here on earth and I'm the Lord, but I'm not greater than my Father that sent me. And the servant is never greater than the Lord. Yet, He's saying the Lord should wash the servant's feet. It's a good example. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now that's it's a prediction of, I skipped over the verse I wanted and went to the one He's talking about, Judas. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If we make service of other people our priority, if we make ourselves submissive to the desires and wants of other people. My father taught me a saying a long time ago when I was growing up, you know, and I want this and tell him I want that. And he would tell me, he said, the quickest way, the best way to get what you want is to help other people get what they want first. If you'll help other people get what they want first, you'll also get what you want. And that's the whole story of Christ. That's what he's telling us here throughout this book about getting what we want. Over here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, but Jesus talking to them said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. The kings, the royalty of the Gentiles, are dominant over their lower level Gentiles. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. This is the way our world works. Our authority is in government. We worship the congressmen. We worship the presidents. We worship the governors. Everybody that has dominion over us in this civil world, we worship. And that's what he's telling us. That's what the Gentiles did. They had their princes and their kings, and they had dominion over all the lesser people. And he said, he's giving us that back factual statement. Verse 26, he says, but it shall not be so among you. He's telling us, but that's not the way I want the world to work for you. He said, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Not just to the ministry here, and it's true to the ministry. Ministry and the deacons, we talk about when you get to be a minister and deacon, that's when you have to go to work. You have to go to work and minister and serve the Lord's people. I don't do near as good at it as I know I should and realize I should. I keep trying. Sometimes I fail miserably, and sometimes I realize maybe I'm serving my own needs more than I should. This is what Christ is instructing us on. It shall not be so among you. Don't be like the world. Don't have dominion over those people that are lesser than you. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And he's talking to the chiefs here primarily. Whoever is the boss, your duty is to serve everybody else. Even so, as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, that's why I came. I came to minister to you. And this guy's our Lord. I mean, he came right out of heaven. Came out of heaven, took on the body of a man, lowered himself down from being a king and a lord, the Lord of lords, and put himself as a man's body, and he came to do what? To serve us. He came to minister to us. And that's what we're supposed to do even in reading the gospel today and coming to church and studying it, is that when we do so, he ministers to us today, even still through the gospel. He ministers to us today through the Holy Spirit. But this is Christ. This is our Savior. Our, in today's vernacular, he's our hero. We should be worshiping him for all he's done. He says, I came to minister to you. He came to provide for us and to minister to us. Let me go to Philippians, I believe. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Again, this is Apostle Paul speaking about how we should follow the example that Christ has given us. Verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. We're not to do anything out of vain. The work we do is not to build up ourselves, is what he's saying. But in lowliness of mind, be humble. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. We're supposed to come and say, I'm not better than anybody. As between whoever I'm looking at or talking to, I'm lower than them. That's the way we ought to approach our life. That's the way we ought to approach our conversations, is that I don't view myself any better. Certainly, I don't view myself any better. But he's saying, clearly, don't view them any better. Make yourself lower than the people you're dealing with. Look not every man on his own things. I don't want to look at somebody and say, well, he didn't have as much money as I do. He didn't have a house I do. He didn't have the car as I do. Don't look at a man on his things, whether he didn't have as much as you or anybody else, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul saying, this is the way I want you to approach life, the same way Jesus did. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What Paul is trying to teach us here is that we're to be servants of other people. We're to be submissive to the needs of others. We're to be submissive to the will of God, just like he was when he came down here. I didn't come to do my own will. we should follow that example. We're not here to do our will. We're here to do the will of the Father. And we're here to help other people. When we look and compare ourselves to other people, we're to help them. He said, he made himself of no reputation. We all want to have a good reputation. We want all people to look at us. I mean, look at the politicians of the world. They all over here, they want to have a good reputation, and they want everybody to look up to them and serve them. I had the opportunity to work in Washington, D.C. for 5 years. You know, and it's a different world up there. Once you've worked on the staff of one of those elected officials, you realize you don't get there unless you've got a great ego. All these leaders got great egos, and they want everybody to look up to them and serve them. And most of the service to those people is intended to build them up and make them look good. He said, Christ came down here not to get a reputation for himself, but to minister. And be a servant, it was made in the to be a servant was made in the likeness of man. He took himself out of the role of God and made himself a servant of men to come and minister to men. He's telling us that he wants us to be submissive. Now that was the example Christ served for us. I want us to look at some examples a little more specific here in a minute. But it's not easy to be submissive. Our kids don't like it. We don't like it. Spouses don't like it with each other sometime. I don't want you to tell me what to do or not to do. And that's the way we lean. Our kids don't like it. They don't ever want to be submissive to what their parents said. But when he tells us to, here, he uses the word submissive and submit a number of times. Submissive and being in submissive and submitting yourself is a voluntary act. You have to desire to do this. And this is hard. You know, I think when he says submissive, sometimes that means I can make you submit to me by forcing you, pulling out a gun and making you do something. I can hold a paycheck over your head. This is the way the world works. That's not submissiveness. That's, you know, in its worst form, it's slavery. I can require you to do some things. That is my desire. It's my desire you do this, and I'll either hold force against you, or I'll hold paycheck against you, or I'll hold guilt against you in some fashion. You're not being submissive when somebody is making you do it. If you feel like you're being made, that's not submissive, and that's not where the blessing is. And that's what Paul is about to start teaching us, that we'll talk about in a minute. Being submissive is voluntary. He tells us to submit ourselves to the will of God. He wants us to do that voluntarily. He wants us to voluntarily give up ourselves and submit ourselves to his will. You know, sometimes I appreciate the people that are praying and they say, help us be submissive. Help us know what your will is and then be submissive to that will. That's a voluntary act. Nobody can make you be submissive. Now, you know, you can make somebody, you can rule over them and you can make them do this and you can force them to do this either by gunpoint or by holding their paycheck, or you hold something over their head and you can make them do it. They're not being submissive. They're doing it because they're required to do it, because you're requiring them. You're forcing that on them, forcing that behavior on them. Submissive is voluntary, and it's a blessing. And that's what we have to separate the difference is. When I'm being submissive, when I'm told to be submissive to the will of God, and I do that, and I'll say, Lord, help me to be submissive to your will. When I do that, I'm putting that on myself. Submissive is when you put a burden on yourself not to do what you would do, but to do what the Lord would have you do. Go with me to Romans, I believe it's chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul tells us here, this is how now, you know, first of all, I wanted to give you an example of this is what Christ has done. Christ was totally submissive to the will of God for us. Now Apostle Paul starts talking to us. Now, Christ has done that. Now it's our turn. This is hard for us. It's hard for me. Like I said, I don't want anybody. I want to do what I want that I think is good for me and my flesh. And Paul and Christ tells us, but it's good for you when you can be submissive. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. He's talking about God and Christ. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Put yourself subject to the powers of God. You know, sometimes I'm doing well. Things are going good for me. I'm making good money. I've got a house. I've got a new car. I've got everything in life I want. You know, I don't need God anymore. He said, that's not the right attitude. You should make yourself subject to him. You know, this is the devil. The devil will take, if your success, you know, a lot of times we've seen people this way. They do this, and the Lord has blessed them in many ways, and Satan then will use that blessing against you. Well, you've done all this on your own. You don't need God anymore. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to study. And we've seen this have an effect, has an effect on all of us. You know, when we don't do the things we ought to do, we're not subjecting ourselves to higher powers. And Paul tells us there's a real blessing in this when you do it voluntarily. You shouldn't do it out of burden. It's just like he tells us even about, you know, when we have to give resources, financial resources or labors, some of ourselves to the church, don't do it out of necessity. I feel I'm required to do this. If I don't do this, everybody's going to look down at something. He said, you give it out of a cheerful heart. You do it. What you give the church, you do voluntarily. What you give to God, do it willingly, submissively. Nobody can make you be submissive. That's the definition of that word. Submissive means I've chosen on myself to do this. I'm going to take this way of life where I'm going to put myself in God's hands. That's hard to do. It's very hard to do. Go right across, in my book, right across the page to Romans chapter 14. Chapter 14, let's do verses 5, 6, 7, 8. One man esteemeth one day above another. In other words, we place things above others. We put them in priorities. This is more important than this. This is more important. And another esteemeth every day alike. And that's what we should do, esteem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. If we regard each day on its own, we're to do that to the Lord. We take every day as a day in the Lord. Every day is equal in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what we ought to look at. And we're going to have some good days and bad days. Don't get those two mixed up and say, oh, I had a bad day yesterday, but I'll have a good day today, and today's a lot better. The Lord says we should redeem every day in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord is good to us every day, not just those in which he gives us some natural blessing, or we think he does. He's telling us that every day is a new day in the Lord, and the Lord gives new blessings every day. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. You know, if I say this has been a bad day for me, the Lord's let me live. The Lord's let me take care of things, do other things. I may have something go wrong, but I still, every day, like Job says, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord every day. And that's what he's telling us. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and give God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We don't live for ourselves. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. He's telling us every day is important. Every day is important to the Lord, for us to worship the Lord and thank the Lord, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Don't think that because one day is good and one day is bad, we've done something. The Lord's good to us every day. He's good and he's perfect, and we ought to make ourselves subject to him. If something doesn't work for us, if we get sick or get our problems, we don't blame that on the Lord. We say, Lord, what are you having me learn from this? What is it about this situation you would have me learn? If somebody in my family is sick or in problems, I need to help them. I need to subject myself to them. If one of my friends or somebody in the church, you know, and then why am I doing it and some other brother or sister over here is not doing it? We're not to condemn anybody else. We're to set the example. It's what we're supposed to do, and place other people above ourselves, and every day is equal in the sight of the Lord. I want to go back here to a verse I think of in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning of verse 5. This is how we're to approach every day, and this is being submissive to the Lord. Y'all have all heard this one. I think I've preached on it several years ago, but verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means completely and totally. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, this is hard for me to do. You know, my understanding is if I think Brother Gary has trespassed on me and said something bad about me, I want to get him back. That's not right. You know, I want to get him back. That's my understanding. We know that if there's any revenge to be done, vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to me. I may have misperceived it. I may have read it wrong. I may have not seen it properly. I may be making that subject of my interpretation. I may be going on somewhat told me, so I'm going third party. It's the reason the Lord tells us in those situations, I'm to go to Brother Gary directly and let's fix our problem between the two of us. I don't act on it. Our understanding is completely different from what the Lord's is. And that's in everything in our life. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, I don't need to go to church this morning. I need to go out and I need to fix my car. I need to do this. Or Dallas Cowboy game starts at noon. I really need to watch that. I hadn't watched them lately. There's all sorts of things that I'd like to do in my understanding. I'll have a lot more fun watching the Dallas Cowboys than I would going to church. It's the way our understanding is. Lord says, no, it's not. That's not correct. That's not right. We know that we're supposed to, when the doors of the church open, we should try to be here. Do not forsake the assembly, because we help not only ourselves, but we help the others around us. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's hard, because that's our understanding. Is we know what, like I said, I know what I need. I have complete understanding of what I need. The Lord says, no, you don't. We don't know what we need, and that's what he's telling us. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, tell me, how do I take this circumstance I'm in and use it to glorify you? Everything we should do should be aimed at glorifying the Lord. That's being submissive to him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. We should honor the Lord first every day. It's not easy sometimes to give to the Lord of ourselves, of our resources, of our time, of our attention. But that's what we're supposed to do. And he says, in doing so, we'll get a great blessing out of that. I want to go back to the New Testament, to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, these are the teachings of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, Apostle Paul says, I'm a free man. Here in the United States, he was a free man, you know, a citizen of Rome. That got him out of a lot of trouble because he was a free man. A citizen of Rome, he used that a number of times. We're free. I have my own free will. I can do what I want to do. This is a country, and especially we're blessed, the United States. I can do what I want. I'm free. And that's what Paul says. Even though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I don't have to go out and spend time with the sick. I don't have to go to church and try to encourage other people. I don't have to go participate and help in the singing or prayers or anything. I want to do what I want to do. I'm a free man, Paul says. But I've made myself, like Christ tells me, I've made myself subject to other men, to the Lord. I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul says, you're better off if you serve other people, if you become servant to all of them. And that's difficult sometimes for us to follow. James, you don't have to follow me these. I just want to give you some quotes out of these. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Submit yourselves therefore to God is what he tells us. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians. I'm a little early, but this would be the last part. But this is where he really gets into a personal basis to being submissive and to submit. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, I don't always understand what the will of the Lord is. But he says, be not unwise, but understanding. We're to work and understand what the will of the Lord, what he would have us do. You get that from reading your Bible. You get that from studying and praying and coming to church. You know, when we pray, Lord, help me know what your will is and help me be submissive to your will. You know, growing up, I went with my father. I remember my grandfather a little bit in his preaching. I went with my father a lot. When my mother got sick, I traveled with him when he'd go about his preaching and pastoring. And I absolutely made one thing clear. I am never going to be a preacher. Be clear. You know, that was very, very straightforward with me and clear with me, and I still don't know why I am today, but I finally made myself, and I finally said, okay, I will submit to the will of the church. I turned down then my ordination several times in a row, and I finally agreed I need to be submissive to the Lord. For whatever reason that occurred, I don't know, but I agreed to be submissive, and the church ordained me. That's what he said. It's hard to understand sometimes what the will of the Lord is. I've been blessed because I think because of this role, I think I've been blessed even more so sometimes when I don't do well and don't preach well. I think the Lord gives me a blessing, an internal comfort that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. He tells us over here, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then he's about to get real personal here at the book of Ephesians. And let's talk about this a minute. Now, verse 22, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, a lot of men like stop reading right there, because that means the wife needs to be submissive. But he goes on and says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Us men are supposed to make the ultimate sacrifice for our wives. He that he might sanctify and cleanse it. We're supposed to take our wives and sanctify them, set them aside, give them a purpose. It would be a holy purpose if it were spiritual, but we're to sanctify them, cleanse them with the washing of water by the word, they might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He said, so ought men to love their wives. There's another ought. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. You know, what does this tell us? He's telling us here that men need to be submissive to your wives too. You need to treat them as good as you like to treat yourself, as you like to be treated. I know how I want to be treated. I want other people to treat me really well, the best, because I want to be treated good. The Lord telling us that's the way you should treat your spouse. Women are to be submissive, but men are to be equally submissive to their wives and treat them special and treat them differently. And we know the Lord gives us roles in the church, different roles to play in the church. But when you have it here, he says, when wives are be submissive to your husband, I like to word it this way. If the wife's walking ahead, she ought to step back and walk equal with the husband. When husbands, you're walking, your wives are behind you, you need to reach back and pull them up equal to you. You're to treat them as if they're equal. Now, the Lord gave us his directions because he knows us. He gave a little bit different direction to the men and the women here because he knows us. You know, men are supposed to be the head of the church, head of the family, and do certain things. We know over read Proverbs, we're told in running the house, the woman has her own law, the law of the mothers. Mothers are to rule the house. We know that the role they have in teaching the children, the role they have in providing for the house and the household. Husbands, you know, not always are not the leaders we ought to be. Most of the time, husbands are good leaders because their wives make them good leaders. You know, sometimes my wife will tell me, honey, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and I'll go do something, and I'll get a great credit for it when I shouldn't. That belongs to my wife, because my wife has directed me. That's what the Lord is telling us, especially between men and women here. Women are to submit, but men are to love their wives as they love themselves. They're equals. Remember, with the husband and the wife, they leave their parents, and they become one. Now, you're different, and you've got different roles in this world, but that's for us in this world. Over here in Galatians, Paul tells us the difference. Galatians chapter 3, the end of chapter 3, he says, when we get in a spiritual world, when we get to heaven, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's neither Jew nor Greek. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any difference between the children of God that are Greek, that are Hebrew, that are Islamic, that are Buddhist, that are Hindu. Those things go away. If you're a child of God, those all go away. We're all up there together. There is neither bond nor free. We're equal. There is neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. There's no husband and wife in heaven. We learned that over when Jesus talks about when he's being questioned by the Hebrew, by the Pharisees. He's being questioned about what, Sadducees. When the Sadducees, they were questioning them about, you know, when you get to heaven, who's going to be married to who? He said, there's no marriage in heaven. We're all equal. We're spiritual. Then we become spiritual and have spiritual bodies. And you become a spiritual being. Even though you may have your natural bodies, we're told we'll have those. There's no difference between men and women and Jew and Gentile and bond and free. We're all children of God. These rules that he gives us here are for the blessings of this world so that we can have a blessings day to day. Now, us men have duties to our wives. We don't like to read all that part. We only read the first part where the women's got to be submissive. Well, first of all, I don't make my spouse submissive. I cannot do that. It's a voluntary act. That's for the wives to do that. Wives have to voluntarily be submissive. And the way you make your husband the leader and the head of the household is the women make them that way so many times. The men should accept that role. But, you know, one of the problems we have in this world is a lot of men don't accept that role. A lot of men's getting started families and they disappear. They don't come and they don't take care of their children. They don't do the things they're supposed to do. They're supposed to love their wives as they love themselves. I have to say, I don't do that. I try, but I don't do that. I don't love anybody like I love myself, but we should. You know, before we start reading that first verse, we ought to get over there and read our own verse. We're supposed to do what the Lord directs us to do, and we're to do it voluntarily. That's what submissive means, is voluntarily. Man, but we're to be submissive to the Lord. If we're submissive to the Lord, we'll follow all his directions completely. Being submissive is something you do on a voluntary basis. Nobody can make you do it. And the Lord tells us, though, there's a real blessing in being submissive. Whether it's male, female, Jew, or Gentile, husband and wife, we're equals. And we're to treat each other lesser than the other one. Husbands should treat their wives lesser than the wives. Wives ought to treat their husbands lesser than them. It's equal. I shouldn't be any different on any race, ethnic, male or female, bond or free. If somebody's lesser than me, there may be bond, I should treat them the same way. You know, we're told over there in, I believe, Matthew, 25th chapter of Matthew, when Christ is talking about the children of God, he said, you know, what I want you to do in this world is I want you to visit the sick, clothe the poor. He's telling them, you've done this to me. You've visited me. You've clothed me. You fed me. And they said, when do we do that? And he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So when you follow the rules of Christ, he says, you're doing that unto me too. You're treating me. Treating the same way. You know, if Christ is on this earth, I'm sure I'd try to treat him special. He's our Lord and our Master, and I want to be special unto him. And he says, no. I mean, we are special unto him by helping each other out. He gives us example. He's not going to be back on this earth. He's going to come one time more, and he's going to be above the earth in the air, and we're going to meet him in the air, and he'll never set foot on this earth again. So he won't be back. But we're to treat each other the way we would treat him if we thought it was him. Because inasmuch as we treat a lesser person as we should, then we're doing that unto him. We're to be submissive to our spouse. We're to be submissive to the Lord. We're to be submissive to each other. We're to help one another. And in doing so, we're following Christ, and we'll get a great blessing from that. You've been very kind with your attention, and my prayers that the Lord will richly bless each of you. Do you have